blessed be the Lord. Are you glad He done that for you? Well, He done something that nobody else could do. He changed you. You couldn't change yourself. The more you tried, the worse you got. If you was like me, the more you tried to do better, the worse you got. Aren't you glad you had a Savior? Aren't you glad you still got a Savior? Aren't you glad you've got the best friend that you've ever had? Give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Praise the Lord. Now turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Play some more of that, brother. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother Gene Lehman, if you'd get ready tonight to lead us to the Lord. Brother Matthew Carter says to please pray for Dalton Carter. He's in the hospital in Kingsport, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Brother Eugene Kennedy, not feeling well tonight. They're asking that we would pray for him. Tanya Van Logrenberg sends this in. Dear Brother Jim and the library staff, please have the church pray for a very serious unspoken need that is desperate and really needs the help of the Lord. Thank you very much. God be with Happy Valley Church. Warm regards. So we just commit that, whatever that need would be, we just commit it unto the Lord, don't we? Amen. Yes. Stephanie and Aubrey Farrell asked for prayer for their grandson, Carson. He has eye trouble. The Lord knows all about that need. We just commit it unto the Lord. Sister Clara Moore, as most of you might know, went home to be with the Lord on Friday morning at 6:30. The viewing will be on Sunday from 5 until 7 at Esther Funeral Home in Coburn, Virginia. Funeral services will be on Monday at 2 o'clock. Brother Donnie's going to be officiating that service. So let's pray for that family, that the Lord would just gird them in His love and be with them during this loss. Please pray for Brenda and Jaden Harmon, both sick and body need healing tonight. I want to please pray for Rusty Wishon, a Baptist minister in Irwin. He has cancer. They're asking that we would remember that need tonight. And Sister Patty Nunley has a very special need that she'd like for the church to pray about tonight. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. We know God is more than able. A lot of sickness and different things going around in our assembly. We certainly want to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our troubles. He's a problem-solving God. Do you believe that tonight? Are you committed to that with all your heart, that He is bigger than whatever your problem is? Do you believe it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight as we stand. Appreciate Brother Gene Lehman, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to come before You tonight. We want to welcome You into this building, into our hearts, into our lives. God, we want You to take full control of each one of us tonight, Lord, that You might have the preeminence, Lord, knowing that if we, Lord, don't, then we won't get much out of this service, Lord, if we can't yield to You, Lord. And I know, God, that You're a God that knows all things and You're everything, Lord. Once time, Lord, the disciples came to You and said, we would see You, the Father. And He says, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So, Lord, when You come, we know who we're looking for. We know who we're expected to be here. We know who You are. We know, God, that we don't understand a lot of things, Lord, about how it all happened back before there was ever a star, before there was ever anything. But, God, we know that we were in Your thinking. We were in Your mind, God, then. And, Father, we thank You, Lord, knowing how great You are, Father. So we come tonight, Lord, knowing that You're a way maker, Lord, that You're a divine healer, God. And I hold in My hands, Lord, many requests, Father. Lord, that people that need a touch, Lord, a loss of one of the saints here, Lord, the Lawson family I know is grieved tonight, Father. But, Lord, You're one that can solve all the grieving and all the pain and all the terror, all the heartaches, God, that we go through with in life, God. And so many times we don't understand. We don't realize, God, how great You are. We don't realize what, Lord, how it's just a prayer away, a touch away, one word away, God, that You can come on the scene, Father. So tonight we hold these in our hand, knowing that You're a divine healer, God, and You can heal every one of them, Father. And, Lord, we just declare them already done, Father, because You said just ask and we shall receive. I believe that You're a prayer-answering God. We just pray Your blessing on the service now upon Brother Donnie, Lord, that You'll, may we, God, not only He preach a word, but may we understand and may we receive that, God, that it will come forth, God, that it would make us better servants and better Christians for You tonight, Father. We pray. We'll honor You and praise You for it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jesus. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in the service with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming tonight, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Are you glad you love to come to the house of God? Amen. Amen. Brother, we're going to try to see if we can sing a song tonight. I hope you can find it on the board. John the Revelator. I don't know if we've ever tried to sing that here or not. But it's a great time to learn it. We never have a better time to learn it than right now. So let's just see if we can do that, okay? He saw great things, didn't he? I'm glad we've been part of a sightseeing tour in this end time. Elijah saw great things too, didn't he? Yes, he did. I'm glad I still believe that. I'm glad I'm still in the truth. Are you? I'm glad I'm committed to this thing. Sink or swim, I'm in for life. How about you? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise again tonight. Amen. Let's see if we can do this, guys. Up on the Isle of Patmos, A man was sick as one day. As he was left alone to die, he began to pray. The Holy Ghost fell on him. The Spirit, it came down. He began to write the things. The river's name was John. Talking about John.
John the Revelator
saw Jerusalem coming down. Yes, it was John.
John the Revelator.
And when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire, heard a great voice saying, John the Revelator wrote about the city of God. Yes, it was John.
John the Revelator
saw Jerusalem coming down. Yes, it was John.
John the Revelator.
And when he looked around, like brass, eyes like fire, heard a great voice saying, come up higher. John the Revelator wrote about the city of God.
While in the Spirit praying, John turned around to see if the voice that he had heard was what it seemed to be. Just like many waters, a great trumpet sound. He said, I am the first and last. The Revelator wrote it down.
Talking about John.
John the Revelator.
He saw Jerusalem coming down. Yes, it was John.
John the Revelator.
And when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire, heard a great voice saying, come up higher. John the Revelator wrote about the city of God. Yes, it was John.
John the Revelator
saw Jerusalem coming down. Yes, it was John.
John the Revelator.
And when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire, heard a great voice saying, come up higher. John the Revelator wrote about the city of God.
While in the Spirit praying, John turned around to see if the voice he had heard was what it seemed to be. Just like many waters, a great trumpet sound. He said, I am the first and last. The Revelator wrote it down.
Talking about John.
John the Revelator
saw Jerusalem coming down. Yes, it was John.
John the Revelator.
And when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire, heard a great voice saying, come up higher. John the Revelator wrote about the city of God. Yes, it was John.
John the Revelator
saw Jerusalem coming down. Yes, it was John.
John the Revelator.
And when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire,
heard a great voice saying, come up higher.
John the Revelator wrote about the city of God. God. Amen. Let's see if we can sing that little chorus tonight. Our God is an awesome God. Do you believe that tonight? Our God is awesome. Let's do that when our God is awesome. When we just... You've been singing here lately. Let's see if we can sing that a little bit tonight, if you will. You kind of get us started. We'll all join in with you, okay? Our God is awesome. Do you believe that tonight?
Our God is awesome. Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome. Awesome. Our God is awesome.
Yes, he is.
Oh, awesome.
that tonight about your God. Oh, you hear that word used pretty loose out in the world. Amen. Young people especially, they'll see something. Well, that's awesome. That was an awesome car. That was an awesome house. That was an awesome pair of shoes. I'll tell you something, our God is the most awesome of all awesome. Amen. He is awesome. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We have a couple of specials. Brother Amos, is Sister Lisa here? Is she here in the service? Where is she? My goodness. She was hiding behind a songbook. Bless her heart. I hear made her to death. But we appreciate Brother Amos and Sister Lisa Cutts. They're precious people. They really are. Got to have lunch with them last Sunday and just to listen to them talk and testify about the goodness of the Lord and their faith and how God has just helped them and kept them, brought them to this glorious truth. We've all got a story to tell. And it's different in every way. But I appreciate what God has done for us as a collective group. Do you appreciate that? Yes, where God has brought us from, what He's brought us to. Look where you were. Look where you are. Look where you're going. Look what you believe. The greatest thing that's ever been on the face of the earth. God is awesome tonight, isn't He? Brother Fred Perry, you come tonight. Give us a song. Sister Lisa, if you'd come after him and sing tonight. Quickly, if you make your way to the platform, both of you, if you would. And we'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord tonight. Just so good to be in the house of God. I'd rather be here than anywhere in the United States. To right here tonight, wouldn't you? Praise the Lord. Give our singers.
Than me, but a lot of times we'll sing a song to God, but have you ever had Him sing one back to you? Well, tonight He's come to sing one back to you. And I pray, my Father, that You will come, Lord. I had a dream when they crucified my King, and I could hear the nails as they pierced His hands and His feet. And I could see the blood as it stained that old rugged tree. But when He reached out His hands for me, I could hear Him say, "Just only believe in me. I require no fee. Just only believe in me, for Your healing is free. Just only believe in me, for I lay down my life for free. Just only believe in me. That's all required of Thee. And on the cross I could only lay, for Your healings I had paid. Sorrow and pain was given to me with shame. But when I reached out my hands for You, this is what I said: just only believe in Me. That's all required of Thee. Just only
That's what I'm pressing toward.
Service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord tonight. Let's just continue to sing that little chorus that we were singing just a few minutes ago as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. You want to pray for your pastor tonight? You appreciate your pastor tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Our God is awesome. Yes, he is. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Aren't you glad you know him that way? And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after the younger devil, someone later who was going to become a son, changed from a pig. That ain't it? You sure, Brother Jerry? You sure that ain't the way some of y'all believe? Not if we believe the words of Jesus, we don't. Jesus didn't teach this boy it was the devil going to become a son. Praise the Lord.
He took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Let's read a statement from a message entitled Mark of the Beast, paragraph 15. You are saved by grace through faith. God, by his sovereign grace, foreordained, spoke your word, your life into existence before the foundation of the world was ever formed. God spoke your word. You know, like St. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the
Word.
So God spoke your Word. Your life into existence before the world was ever formed. And by His infinite mind, knowed what should be in the final end. I love this. Then grace constrained Him. Love constrained him to project sovereign grace to the earth to make a provision to save you. Now you just got through singing that God was awesome, and here I'm telling you how awesome he is. You believe what you're singing or not? Love constrained him to project sovereign grace to the earth to make a provision to save you. If he's seen you desired to be saved, then God, through his love, his great attributes, would not permit him to do nothing else if God is love.
Amen.
And he comes down a couple of paragraphs and he said, one of the brothers that's recording the tapes here tonight, Brother Gene and Brother Leo, was asking me here today, which was first, faith or love? And I said, well, actually, Brother Gene, love is first. He said, because God loved, and then he projects faith. And he said, that's the way it is with you. So tell me, how could you love God then and not have faith first? Unless you had a deposit of love somehow from the direct source.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm ready to go to the house. I mean, it's just, I've been having church all day at home, so let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. It means everything to us, Lord. I pray tonight, Father, that you would take your word and make it so real to us, Lord. May we be called in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Open our understanding, Lord. Father, we're bringing our hearts, our minds, our spirits. We bring our traditions, we bring everything. You just lay it right before the altar. If there's anything in us that's contrary to your word, may we recognize it so we can confess it and lay it aside. Speak to us tonight, would you, Lord? We're needy of you, Father. Come this way tonight, Lord God. Arrest our thoughts, as it were. May we be called into the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let me read to you from the Philadelphian Church Age. God being sovereign, he foreknew by divine decree exactly who would be in his bride.
Yes, sir.
He chose her. She did not choose him. He called her. She did not come on her own. And the saints said,
Amen.
He died for her. He washed her in his own blood. He paid the price for her. She belongs to him and to him alone. She is wholly committed to him. And he accepts the obligation. He is her head, for Christ is the head of his church. Now, if God sovereignly chose a people to be his own people, and God himself was the one who wrote your name indelibly in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, did he do it on sovereignty, or did he do it waiting for you? Now remember, when Jesus brings to us this threefold mystery in Luke 15, he takes the sheep, he takes the lost silver coin, and now he's going to climax it all with what we call the prodigal son. In this is the same story with a little bit different view on the mystery of redemption. The sheep was a sheep before it was lost. The coin was a minted coin with the image on it before it was lost. The son was a son before he was lost. What does it mean to be lost anyway? Out of circulation. Out of fellowship. Out of the Savior, shepherd's eyes. Praise the Lord. Now, if you're lost, like people out here are eternally lost, that's a different loss than elect lost. Elect lost is not the same thing as eternal separation. Elect lost is just out of fellowship, out of circulation. The image is there, but you're lost in the dust. So you got to come to yourself. Now, let us look as Jesus gives us this great, profound story. Let's go back to verse 14 about this prodigal son. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Now, we know truly, were we as the elect of God, were we lost? We were. We were definitely lost. But how were we lost? We were a son or daughter of God in a foreign country, in a land that was not the land of our father. Our father was not there looking for us, but it would be the memory of our father that would bring us back to true recognition of who we are. Now, the father was not there preaching, handing out tracts every day. They wasn't having campaigns down at the hog lot. They wasn't down there with banners and tambourines and trying to reach out. But it was the invisible image of the father that never left the son. No matter how far he went, no matter how far he strayed, it's something there, and all it takes is a supernatural unseen force to speak to his nature, and his nature will change.
Amen.
Now, watch how Jesus says this, when he had spent all. And of course, we know this is what sin does. Sin strips a person of all that is pure. Sin strips a person of all that is righteous, all that is godly. Oh, you might go to church, but you're a long way from being godly, because there's a great difference in righteousness and self-righteousness.
Amen.
A lot of folks go to church and they think they're God, but it's their own self-righteousness. That's not what we're even talking about. So sin strips us of our knowledge of God. Sin strips us of our origination. So it's amazing that trouble and duress is what brought this boy to a spot to where it would bring him to a recognition. He had to come, as would say, to the very bottom. It would bring him to a spot to where he would remember what it was like back at his father's house. Now notice Jesus said when he had spent all, then there arose a mighty famine in that land. Now not back where his daddy was. This famine did not affect where his father was. Neither did it affect the servants of his father, which were in charge of administering robes, rings, and shoes. I hope you understand tonight that every time a godly man stands in this pulpit preaching the Word of God, he's working for our Heavenly Father. He's in the administration department of handing out robes, rings, and shoes to try to help you recognize who you are. It was an allocation that was given to the servants. The father himself never gave this boy a ring. The father himself never gave him a robe. Don't you understand why the preaching of the word is so necessary to help you see who you are and drive tradition away from you? Glory. So this man was in a wretched, miserable condition. And sin does that. Many of us can remember and recall when we were back in sin. We were lost without God. Were we sure we were? Were we in a state where we needed something to move for us? We did. Did we need to come to ourselves? We did. Were we deranged? We were. Were we spiritually insane? We were. Only people today on the earth in the right minds of us has got the Holy Ghost. Everybody else is nuts. They're basket cases. Scientists included. Politicians, worst of all, probably. Notice now he says, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to want. Isn't it amazing? You think if the unregenerate people, I mean, they drink all they want, they smoke all they want, to get the dope and all this, that, and other. Why in the world would they be in want? Why is it that pop stars kill themselves? Why is it that movie stars have overdoses on all kinds of stuff? Why is it that they're looking and searching and looking and hunting? What are they hunting for? Why would millionaires want more money? Why would the famous and the rich and the popular, what is it they're looking for? They're in this land and they're in a land of want. Where's the want at? Within themselves. They are living in the midst of a famine. Now listen to me, children. They are in the midst of a famine. I don't know about you tonight. I am not in a famine. I am in a feast. Now, famine's all around us everywhere, but that don't talk about me, because I am having a feast, glory to God, on this revealed word of the hour. Now, notice, so he spends all, everything's gone, and there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now, notice what he does. Verse 15 takes him a step farther. This is as low as he can go before he starts on the ascending up to the ladder of reconciliation. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Notice now, he's not a resident of where his father was at, but he was a citizen of this backslidden, hell-bound generation, this country that he's now a part of. Every one of us used to be there. You joined yourself to a cigarette-sucking citizen. You joined yourself to the devil and went to work for the devil. Praise the Lord. You were an employee of the devil, but you just wasn't his son. Oh, I'm so glad I can say that tonight. Amen. Notice this. He went and joined himself. Now, the Greek word here is a very, very strong word. It literally means he glued himself. Alokose, which is desperation, forced him to attach himself. So the verb means to glue or cement. Very expressive, implying that he enforced himself. He forced himself upon this citizen of this country who was was unwilling. I don't want nothing to do with you. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You're in bad shape and the devil won't even hire you. You're in bad shape and the devil don't even want you. You're so mean. You're so low down. So sorry, so rotten and sinking that the devil don't even want you on his side. That's bad, ain't it? Sound like to me you're just getting right where God can deal with you then. Now notice he does not join himself to a saint. He does not join himself to an angel. He does not join himself to a minister. He joins himself to a citizen of the tombs. This country. So here he is naked. He is joined to the congregation of the dead. He is joined to the citizenship of those who are spiritually bereaved of truth and life. He's like the man living in the tombs. Now, he's bereft of truth. He's bereft of all these great things, but he still has a position. And he still has a little bit of knowledge about his daddy. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now remember, Jesus is telling this story to a bunch of Jews. So to Jews, you imagine when he mentioned hogs. Now you all are Gentiles and y'all think of bacon and you think of ham biscuits and pork chops and all that sort of thing. That's because you all ain't Jews. But if you'd have been living this day and Jesus said this boy got so low that he was tending hogs to the Jews, it was the lowest employment that there was. Now Jesus is going this low for a reason. To feed swine. Now the object of the image is to project fallen man in such a state that it seems as if though he can go no farther in shame and humiliation because of sin. Now this is what his free moral agency done for him. This is what he chose to rebel against. And as I said it a couple of different times now, Adam done exactly the same thing you and I would have done if we'd have been in the Garden of Eden. If it would have been I in the Garden of Eden, I would have done the same thing without the Holy Ghost. If you would have been in the Garden of Eden, you would have done exactly the same thing. So Adam was speaking for all of us and behaving the way that he did. And the church said, so you can see now where this young man is. Now, his father, as I said, he's nowhere around. His father isn't going out having campaigns. His father isn't going out handing out tracts. Now, Brother Donnie, aren't we supposed to do that? Yeah, if you want a denominational gathering, I'd say do that. Are we supposed to witness? Sure. When the Father impresses it upon your heart. Hey, look, friends, I flew all over the world many, many times, and I always pray, Lord, whoever I'm sitting by, if there's somebody there that I can say something, let me say something. And many of them I have. I give them a little bit and give them a little bit more and come up to a certain spot and they stop, I stop. You know why? I don't want to push them out of the plane. That'll be the easy part if I push them over to a spot where they don't understand that blaspheme the Holy Ghost. So I try to go by the leading of the Spirit and not give them any more than they can swallow. If I can just talk to them of generality about a God that loves and a God that saves and a God that heals, and if I go with the current word of the hour and they don't want that, I just kind of back off. If they bring it up again, I try it again. Why? Because I don't believe this message of reproduction is the way the denomination reproduces itself. No, we go by the leading of the Holy Ghost. Come on, children. Now, what's this in verse 16? He would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Now, added to all of his humiliation comes hunger. Oh, and I'll tell you one thing. Hunger is a powerful force. Many of y'all know what it is. You go without food for 45 minutes or an hour or something like that. And boy, I mean, you're just chomping at the bits. This boy wasn't going 45 minutes. He was going day in and day out. Constant hunger.
Amen.
The husk here is actually a carob bean. C-A-R-O-B. A carob bean, which is a form of chocolate. Now, it was something that the poor people ate, and hogs. It had a sweet taste, but they take and grind the beans and make it into a paste. But now remember, this rich man that he was working for only allocated so much of the carob beans. So this boy couldn't go down and take what he wanted first and then give to the hogs. What was give to him was give to the hogs. Not for him. If you want to serve a master like that, that's entirely up to you. That sounds like a mean devil to me. That's exactly what the devil does. He'll get you high on drugs and you're not even feeding yourself. You're feeding your body, but you're not satisfying your soul. You go out and get drunk and your body gets all high and you go out and commit adultery, have a good feeling, this and that, but yet you would have vain filled your soul with some of that. So when you come to yourself and your body gets past the high and your body gets past the nicotine and your body gets past the alcohol, then what? There you are, still hungering in your soul. But if you come to Jesus and get filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm tell you, brother, he don't just make your body feel good. He'll satisfy that hunger in your soul. He'll help your spirit. He'll help your mind. He'll help every part of you that needs help. But not this man right here. Not this citizen. It's not the way he works. Now watch, he says, he would have fain filled his belly with the carob beans or the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him.
Amen.
He gets up hungry of a morning and he starts. The pig pen is so smelly. There's a famine in the land, so he has to pack water to keep a wallow created for the hogs. The daily portion of carob beans comes in on a wagon, must be accounted for. They know pretty much the 400 pounders eat so much, the 250s eat so much, the little guys eat so much. There better not be none of this missing. They're getting fatter and fatter. He's getting skinnier and skinnier. Bags now under his eyes. His face is sunk in. His bones are protruding through his shoulders and his hands. He's lost so much weight, he can hardly be recognized. The smell is overwhelming. But this day he gets up, the stench is still there.
Yes, sir.
The pain is there. He laid there in the night and he woke up before daylight and he was so hungry. Just maybe grabbing his stomach like this and laying there. He's so hungry.
Amen.
Little did he know, today was the beginning of the rest of his life. Something's fixing to change. But what is it that's going to change about him? Now, it's not actually that he is going to make up his mind by himself. You see, he's out of his wits. He's deranged. It's like a person who has lost their mind and they went spiritually insane. So how would you ever get that person's sanity back to them? Now, if you could get their sanity back to them and help them to reevaluate their situation and know there's a better place, you don't have to live this way, this can be totally different. But how are you going to get it to them when they're insane? And they're stark raving mad and there's no way to get it over to them. But somehow you've got to get it over to them. Jesus says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, This is a very expressive phrase commonly applied to one who has been deranged. And when he recovers, we say he has come to himself. So he has been deranged. Now, was it the smell of the hog pen that changed different? He said, oh, that reminds me of mama's bread. Boy, that's bad bread if a hog lot reminds you of mama's bread. He looked around one day, pigs. No, something had to happen within him. You see, when a person loses their mind, it's not their brain that is gone. It is something about their spirit. That's why when Brother Branham would go into an insane institution and sit there and talk to them, ever since you was a little girl, you've always thought about boys, and you thought about you wanted to marry a missionary one day, and this and this and this, and all of a sudden he caught her spirit, and it was out there roaming, and brought it back into her body, and she come back to herself. So there has to be a force outside the individual themselves, because they cannot do it. They don't have the ability. They don't have the power to flip a switch or make a change or do something themselves. There's got to be a power that'll grab a hold of that and bring that deranged person back to themselves. Notice this young man. He was insane. That's what we were. Spiritually insane. Friends, don't you understand when folks pull away from the Word and leave the Word, don't you see what happens to them? They go crazy again. They lose their mind again. So they go to fighting the very thing they've stood for. What? Then whatever it was that had them and got a hold to them, that has now lost its hold on them. And the derangement has come back upon them. And instead of them coming to their self, they're beside their self. You've heard that, haven't you? Oh, this person was beside himself. What does that mean exactly? That they're not quite their self. I was beside myself, but that wasn't good enough. I had to come to myself. It's going to choke you, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyhow. Conversion wasn't him coming to his daddy. Conversion began when he came to himself. He can't come to his daddy till he comes to himself. Notice Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness, insanity, derangement. Madness is in their heart. Notice he don't put it in their head. But they're insane in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Amen. So here Solomon now describes what we are when we're out in the world before we get converted. We're mad. We're insane. Well, y'all might as well say amen. So is every sinner. Madness strikes every soul. So you can imagine, we're living on the face of the earth, 7 billion people, and all of them except for a handful are totally insane. That's welcoming news, isn't it? Y'all go home and have a good night's rest now after church is over. It's like madness paralyzes the image of God within us and releases the power of the beast. The madness paralyzes the image of God. What's happened to this man? What's happened to this young boy? It's like the image of his father and home. I don't want to live here no more. I don't want to be here no more. But now, wait a minute. Something strange happens to this guy. Yes, sir. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's? My father's.
Amen.
Now, this is the first time that we have recorded in this lapse of months or years or whatever it was that is referred back to a relationship which existed before he came to this country. Lord have mercy. Glory to God. My father's. Now, isn't this the same house that he despised its government when he wanted to leave? Isn't this the same arrangement that he wanted to leave and get away from? That he was tired of being told what to do, what time to go to bed, and when to get up, and what friends he can have. You can't go here and you can't go there. I'm sick of all that stuff. I want to do what I want to do. And this is what it's led him to. Take a real good glimpse at Free Moral Agency. And then smile like a possum because you're so proud of yours. This is his story. You want to give me yours? I guarantee you one thing, yours ain't much better. Oh, glory to God, Brother Donnie. I made up my mind. I've done this and that and the other. Liar, liar, liar. What was it that got a hold of him? Could his mind on its own? Did he have this power that laid within him and he just gives up on this certain day and the astrological signs is right and the moon signs and the sun signs and, you know, the donkey brayed a certain way and the rooster crowed a certain way and he said, ah, today is the day. Ah, I'm different today. I'm totally changed. Don't you understand? There was nothing in this boy at all by his own power to cause this to happen. So when he came to himself, he began to think father thoughts, home thoughts. Why was it that the thoughts about father and about home were now different than what they were before? And how did he get the ability to think about home and father in this more loving, genteel manner than what he was before? When he started thinking this other before, when he started going crazy, he was thinking how bad it was and how difficult it was, and you gotta do this, you gotta do that. Well, what's happened to this boy? So he began to think. I'm gonna tell you something, friend. A thinking person is bad news to the devil. Whatsoever lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Don't be surprised if all hell breaks loose around your home, around everything in the world by the preaching of this word. Because if Satan can't stop me from preaching it, he'll try to stop you from absorbing it. So all kinds of sickness, all kinds of trouble at school, all kinds of trouble out the hen house, all kinds of trouble down at the milk barn everywhere. It's going to break all loose. Why? To pull your focus away from this word. He don't want you to recognize who you are. So what does he do? He busies us with this trouble and busies us with that trouble. But I got news for him. We're thinking thoughts about father and we're thinking thoughts about going home. Hallelujah. He ain't going to be able to stop us as God's people. He may try. Isn't it amazing? He come to himself and he began to think. And he began to remember. Huh. I remember. Man, I remember old Brother Horn preached that message about the prodigal son. Oh, yeah. I remember old Brother Tim coming to and preached that message on this. And them hired servants back at my daddy's house, they've got bread enough and even more left over. Don't you see what he was remembering? The administrations under the Father's headship, doving out the portions of goods to the elect in the body. Hey! Hey! Hey!
wouldn't remember how many hogs I had and how many sheep I had. He's remembering the servants
and the food they dealt out. He began to remember the administration at home and the kindness. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough? Not only that, they got more than they can eat. That's me. That's me. I didn't just barely drag into church tonight, did y'all? Man, I barely made it here from Wednesday. Lord, have mercy. I've got enough still left over from Wednesday. I can make it for another 6 months, but I'm glad I didn't have to. We've got bread enough and more that's left over. Come on, children. Don't worry, Brother Donnie. I'm scared to death you're going to run out of something to preach. As long as I've got the Holy Ghost, you ain't got one thing to worry about. I might run out of mind. I might run out of strength. I might run out of time, but I ain't going to run out of stuff to preach. We're talking about an eternal God here. Now watch what he done. He began to think. And he began to remember. And he began to hate where he was. What made him hate where he was? Remembering faintly where he was told he was at. Y'all can't remember it no more than I can. But I'm telling you, you were there. So he began to think. He began to remember. He began to regret. He began to despise where he was. What's happening? He's coming back to himself. Isn't it amazing he ain't mentioned nothing about Cadillacs, BMWs, limousines? What's he remembering? Father's house, father's order, food at the house, servants at the house. Oh, thank you, Lord. When he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And then he compared by memory. And ah. Perish with hunger. What's this all leading to? Three simple, powerful words. I have sinned. Everybody good? Everybody buckled up? Here we go. The prophet says Abraham was no more than any other man. Maybe as far as we know, coming out of Babylon, perhaps an idolater. God by election. God does the choosing. We can't choose. God does the choosing. We have nothing to do with it. What has to happen to make the pig, to make him want to be a lamb? Is something has to come down and change his being. Is that right? So who has to do that? You? Your whole nature's the other way. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you one thing. Every time I read this quote, I about have a runaway. So if I do, some of you preachers take my scriptures and go on with it. God has to do it. God speaks. And your nature begins to seek after God. God speaks and your nature begins to seek after God. Don't you understand? That's where some of you think you made up your mind. That's where some of you think you made the choice. It was God that spoke and your nature sought after God. Simply you yielding to the sovereignty of God. whatever it was that had a hold of this prodigal son, he couldn't run to it. You couldn't. I couldn't. Probably most of y'all remember the day or the hour or the morning or the moment when something started happening to you. Do you? You remember whenever it was that something began to move and you thought it was you. It sounded like you talking to yourself. Welcome to the Hog Rock Group. Glory. God speaks and your nature begins to seek after God. That's when God is dealing with you. But Brother Donnie, I wasn't even saved. Of course she wasn't. It's misinterpreted theology to say that God only deals with you after you're saved. You could never got saved if God hadn't dealt with you before you got saved. You was down in the hog lot. You had to come to yourself, and how can you? It's impossible. God speaks. Wonder what he said. Wonder what he said. Some of y'all may remember. Some of y'all may remember. He may have said, this is your last chance. This is your day. This is your time. Then all of a sudden you responded. And all these years you've been so proud of yourself. Because you thought you was the beginning of your salvation. You know what you're doing, don't you? You're following true to Adam. The prophet of God said it over and over and over again. Man wants to save himself. You died in the wool Armenians that don't want to go to the sovereignty of God. You're right back to Adam's nature again. You want to save yourself. You want to take credit for something that God spoke to your nature in the first place. You was a sinner and you loved it. Come on, don't sit there and look at me like you didn't like smoking them Winstons and Pall Malls and Camels and drinking that old whiskey and that old rot gut stuff. Some of you men love running around with women. You love chasing women. Some of you women love stripping your clothes off like a Jezebel. You loved it. But what was it? God spoke to your nature.
Amen.
God spoke to your nature. What am I doing? What am I doing? Why don't you just give it up? You took credit for it for 45 years, some of you. Just say it tonight. It's God's grace. It's God's grace. Children, don't you see? This is election. God speaks, and your nature begins to seek after God. That's when God is dealing with you. It might have been months and months or weeks before you ever got saved. The Holy Ghost come down to that hog rod where you was. The Holy Ghost come down in your filth. He come down in that sand where you were. He knew you couldn't get out of that by yourself. That's when God is dealing with you before anything can happen out here to make you be a Christian. Something has to happen in the heart here to turn you to Christianity. Tell us, prophet of God, what is it? It's election. It's election. That's what started moving you. It was your election. It was the prodigal son's election. He got up hungry, sad, downhearted. I think I'll kill myself. I can't take this no more. This is awful. But something happened. Amen. It's like he got a breeze of clear air that cleared out his thinking about him being his own savior and everything. That he would... And something started working in him. It must have been something to do with his daddy, since that's one of the first things that he says. Oh, Lord Jesus. It wasn't the streets of gold that got my attention. It wasn't Jasper walls that got my attention. When I asked my mama that day, "Mama, how do you get saved?" I wasn't raised in church. You've heard me tell it over and over again. I wasn't all my. I wasn't brought up in no church. I didn't know how to pray. Didn't know how. What was it? Something about God. Remember, Brother Bram talking about Brother Dow, that him not being a church man, but he said as soon as that light struck his path, it hit that predestinated seed. Well, if you get the seed by going to church, how did he get it? Hallelujah to God. He wasn't even a church man. But what was it? Father come down there and moved on his heart and spoke to his nature. Yeah. Brother Donnie, don't we have to yield? Yes! But God's making the first move. Not you. God always starts the checker game and he moves first and then says, "Jerry, your turn." Notice his gifts and callings and without repentance. It's God's election and foreknowledge. It's what makes the thing so. If we have a desire, the Bible said it's not him that will us or him that runneth us, but it's God that showeth mercy. See, it's not whether you will or whether you want to or where your desire is. It's whether it's God's will or not. And we have to find God's will. If it's that perfect, then we can just set our faith right to that and say, "This is it." We can run right on the way, and the will of God runs. For by one Spirit, we're all placed into the body of Christ's position. Have you ever tried it out yet? Every man, woman in here that's a Christian knows there's been something on you all your life. When you was a child, you longed to serve God. Something beat at your heart. It was God's election. Now notice, it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It wasn't even the gospel. Don't you see how election is separate from the word, Lord? Election is separate from a preacher. I've never even heard preachers. What was it that was beating on my heart, Brother Jeremy? It wasn't my knowledge of God. It wasn't my memory of the Bible. It was my election. Many of you was not raised in church. You knew nothing about God. You weren't raised in a God-fearing family. But what got a hold of you? It was your election before you ever even heard the word. Hallelujah to God. The scripture said, "Those he has called, he's justified. Those he has justified, he has glorified." Amen. In the presence of Almighty God, your name's indelibly wrote with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glorified in his presence, positionally placed you on earth for a purpose to do the will of God. You see your position, Christian. Amen. Gonna go on. You have Abraham's seed when you have the Holy Ghost. That's right. It was through that promise. And now the promise wasn't made or give to you by your own goodness. It was God's election and calling that brought you to it. Nothing you ever done to merit it. You never sought after God. God sought after you and gave it to you on the basis of sovereign grace. Nothing in the world you could do. Nothing you could do about it. Why? He was insane. Now, if you could have come to yourself and look at where you were, you would have chose to go the other way. But it was hopeless. He was hopelessly, spiritually insane. And this is why God must have election. Or there'd be nobody saved. Election ain't just a doctrine to me. It's an attribute of my daddy. Predestination ain't just a doctrine to me. It's a trait of my father. Oh, you say I wear the best clothes in the neighborhood. I got the best car. I have the best. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. I never told lies. I never, that still hasn't got one thing to do with it. It's no merits of your own. It's the unconditional election and calling of God. And salvation is the merits of Jesus Christ. Nothing any individual could do. God by his love saved man. Not what man could do. There's nothing you could do about it. You couldn't even have a nature to long for God. Don't you see, friends, how this offends God when people want to act like it's them? Well, I done this and I done that and I done not according to the message of the hour, you never. You couldn't even have a nature to long for God. Because you're a sinner. No man has sought God at any time. But God has sought man. He came looking for me. Now listen. He came looking for the prodigal son. But not in a visible manifestation. Where? Where? In the mind. In the heart. In the bursting channel. If he could ever get his mind past the stage of insanity to let him remember. If he could begin to drop a few quotes here and there and let him know he was with him before the world ever began. Notice this. God by election chose Abraham, not because he was a good man, but because God elected Abraham. That's the only way you'll ever come to God. It's God's election. God does the choosing. You have nothing to do with it. There's no man that has sought God at any time. You can't seek God. It's God seeking you. Listen to this. It's something in you creating that desire. Y'all remember that desire, don't you? You remember that desire? You remember you making up your mind, I'm going to church tonight. I know that sounds crazy. And you told your wife, we're going to church. She said, you got to be kidding me. We're going to church. Well, you ain't no church. Man. We're going to church. And some of y'all called back, boy, that was my free moral agency. It was something. It was that something in you. Instead of you going to the bar still and get drunk, that something got a hold to you in such a way, it was time for you to receive Christ that night. And that something switched your desire. He already started dealing with you. Oh, hallelujah. Already started dealing with you before you ever come to the altar. I hope it don't overwhelm him, but I'm going to say if it does anyhow, most of you all got saved before you ever hit an altar anyhow. When that Spirit of God started dealing with you and struck you when you was out there, that's when it happened to you. But in your traditional concept, you had to come up the altar and beat on the altar and cry right there. Glory to God, it started right there. But God said, no, it wasn't that. Now you're back there in the bathroom at you on your job. I got a hold of you then. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you being dead in sin and trespasses without any nature to serve God at all, and God by election called you and gave you His Spirit without you making any choice. Come on now, you Dutch Reformed. At least say ouch or amen or something if you can't say it. Preach it, Brother Donnie. No man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And if God did that through you without you being able to make a choice, how much more will He heal you and keep you when you've got a choice by a sworn effort of His? God in His sovereign grace and His omnipotence knocks at your heart and gives you the blessed opportunity and turns you around and sends you up the road. How could you turn that down? Changes your whole desires, turns you around and starts you the other way. Oh, you be silly to the world, but you're blessed in the sight of God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, said our Lord Jesus Christ. God, by His amazing grace, notice, it was what God did, what God called. You had no will to call. You could have no desire to call. You say, when you going to get off this? When you get off of it. When I preach you out of this tradition. Some of you are going to be mighty happy when I do, because we're going to go flying out of here. Oh, happy day, happy day. Glory. You could have no desire to call because your nature was completely contrary. Now, can you imagine some of your sisters that used to think you were so beautiful and so sexy, all dressed out in the world's attire? And then somebody show you a picture of yourself today. You say, there ain't no way I'll ever look like that. And you meant it. Thank God that wasn't your election talking. Some of you brothers, I can't keep my hands off of women. I'll tell you one thing, I gotta have this old crow. I gotta smoke on these cigarettes. Now, I've been smoking since I was 12 years old. Ain't no way I could ever see myself without a cigarette. But that wasn't your election talking. That was your nature, and your nature meant it. But all of a sudden, God spoke to your nature. I'm going to church tonight. And you said to yourself, are you nuts? No, I'm just getting right, man. I'm just coming to myself. We're going to church. We're not going to church. We took to Happy Valley. You got to be kidding me. That guy's an absolute nut up there. Really? There ain't no way in the world. Look at what them people believe. Look at how they look. If you go up there, they don't tell what in the world they'll talk about you. What's that colored Kool-Aid I've been told they'd pass out that Kool-Aid. And folks drink that stuff and may make you act real funny. It'll make you act funny, all right. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know about that sort of thing. And then God speaks to your nature. Glory to God. God. And your wife, look at you, what in the world's the matter with you? And your dad and your grandma said, well, you've been going to church up on the hill. Oh, no, don't tell me you got in that clique and that cult and that. Oh, don't tell me what in the world you got into. Something got a hold of me, Daddy. Something got a hold of me, Mama. I wasn't looking for it. I didn't want it. I didn't desire it. It felt like it wanted me. Oh, that's what it was. It wasn't you that wanted it. It wanted you. You could have had no desire to call because your nature was completely contrary to it. But God by election called you and turned you around. So he gets up. Man, I'm so hungry. I hate this stuff. What am I doing here? Man, I remember. I used to go to Happy Valley and I used to sit there. And the anointing come down. What am I even thinking about that? I remember my daddy's house. What's happened to me? Many of you all was just as happy a little Methodist as you could ask for. Many of you all was just as a content little free will Baptist as you ever seen in your life. I was just as happy shouting, running, tongue talking, jumping Pentecostal you ever seen in your life. Until something began to speak to him. I thought, no, I've got everything. Surely I've got everything. And Harry, troublemaker, started reading them books of Brother Branham, giving them to my wife, Carol, and they started listening to tapes and all this. Carol, no, and I said, no, I ain't reading that. I'm a preacher. God tell me something. Glory. Glory. Then he spoke to my nature. God calls who he will, and it's all by election. We find out that it's not him that wants to be saved. Not him that will us or him that runs us. It's God that shows mercy. No man can come to Jesus except God draws him first. So what do you got to do with it anyhow? You haven't got nothing to do with it. You're out of the picture altogether. And Happy Valley said, Brother Brim said, there's so much make-believe going on and sensations and different things like that, but when in your heart you believe it, when something has happened to you, it's God did it. And God's the only one that can do it. God, by grace and election, that put it in your heart to believe it. It wasn't there to begin with. You had no way of putting it there. God placed it there. And you answered the call. Let me close with this. We'll pick this up again in the morning, Lord willing. Communion, 1965. Let me lay a foundation now. The book of life coming up when you were born. That's your natural birth. But then one time, way back down in there, there was a little grain of life. As I was explaining to some of the young sisters at the house this afternoon, there's a little grain of life laying there that you wonder, where did it come from? These strange things, I was saying this taking from myself. Like I was saying, well, William Branham, well, 40 years ago, the William Branham, he isn't the same one tonight. If somebody back there would say, well, William Branham, he was a rank rascal, see? Because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham and their nature. I was a sinner. I come to the world a liar.
all the habits of the world right in me. But down in there too was another nature present. See, predestinated. Was in there by God. In this same body. Two natures in there. Well, one, I catered to one as a good as a baby. Dad, first thing you know, I become a liar. Become everything else that's a sinner because I raised up that way. But down in there was a little speck of life. All the time. Now watch how he goes into this in a natural explanation, and then you parallel yourself the same way. Paragraph 48, now think of how the times being out there in the summertime, I'd get my sticks and put them down for a little windbreak where if it rained, I'd lay there and have poles sticking in the water, fishing my old coon dog land there. And I'd say, look here. You know, last winter I camped right here one night and I built a fire right here while I was waiting for my old dog here to tree and had a fire. Don't you love this Bob Jones University theology? It was froze 5 inches deep in the ground. But little flower, where did you come from? Now watch. He's coon hunting, he's fishing, he's doing all them natural things. But there's another William Branham in there, another spot of eternal life. So while he's fishing and coon hunting and all that, this other spot in there is calling to nature and saying, where did you come from? Glory. Little fly, where did you come from? See? Or where'd you come from? Who out here planted you? What hothouse did they bring you out of? Or what about it? Where'd you come from? See that little fire? I'd say, well, it was frozen, everything. I built a fire right on top of you. Besides the freezing element, there was a heat element laying there, a big old log where I burned you. And yet here you are. You're alive. Where'd you come from? Now watch how he takes that. He says, what was it? There was another William Branham. See, a little spot of eternal life down there from the genes of God. The word of God that was placed in there. And I love this part of the quote too. Each one of you can think of similar things. It was working. Then look up to the trees and I think, leaf, I seen you fall off last year. Are you back there again? Where'd you come from? What brought you here? See, it was that eternal life working in that body. One day as I walked up, that voice talking, so don't never drink, smoke, and so forth. The young fellows all got older, but there was something moving. And yet all at once, I looked up. Uh-oh, here we go. And I said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. What is it? Another prodigal. Another prodigal coming to himself. Let's stand. Like my little eagle. I'm not a chicken. But there's something yonder somewhere, oh great Jehovah, whoever you are, open up. I want to come home. Something in me calling. Then I was born again. Those of you that heard Brother Charlie Cox's testimony, Sister Nellie, give her heart to the Lord when Brother Branham was down there in those meetings. Brother Charlie kind of held out a little bit and held out a little bit. The Lord kept dealing with him. He talked to Brother Branham and said he wanted to go up to the tabernacle and went up there and went down to the altar and, you know, give his heart to God, as we say. Brother Branham told him later, Brother Charlie, you remember that night when you was working? Remember that night when you was working on the night shift? And that something struck your heart? That's when it happened. Traditionally, though, we have to
You know. Yeah, that's the way the prophet was. Whenever he started searching for God. Didn't know how to pray or didn't know how to talk to him, so he wrote God a note. Remember you're talking about it? Wrote God a note. Tacked it up on a tree. What was it? That little spot of life. Searching. God, I turned the coal shed. Finally held his hand and said, well, I've heard people say that they hold their hands like, you know, a certain way. So he held his hands. Dear sir. Then he stopped and said, I've heard people say that if they talk to you and you answer them. He said, well, maybe I'm holding my hands the wrong way. Children, look where we were. Look how ignorant we were. And he said, well, I don't know how to talk to you, sir. He said, but I've heard people say, I ask you that you'll forgive me. He said, I've sinned. And he said, maybe you don't talk my language and I can't talk yours. But if I'm forgiven, would you somehow just let me know? And the light come out in the coal shed and hung there. He said, that's when the seal spoke around me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Heavenly Father, thank you. I know it's been so many, many years ago since I gave my heart to you. But as I've been going back through this again, Lord, it's just so stirred my heart, making me again so grateful. Amen. That I have met you, Lord Jesus. My ignorance, even after I got saved, believing this three. So I prayed to the Father for a while, and prayed to the Son for a while, and prayed to the Holy Ghost for a while. You in my ignorance, you still loved me, Lord. Thank you. It was that spot of life. Praise God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I come to myself. And yet in reality, I realize as the word becomes more clear, I think it's still an ongoing process. We come to ourselves when we're born again. But truly, as we go on in the Word, we're coming more to that real image of who we are. May we never stop until we embrace that new body. Amen. And it, Lord Jesus. If there's one here tonight, or one who will hear this service, maybe they're out there in sin. Maybe they're in that hog lot. Or maybe there's one, Lord, that... but it's a backslider. Maybe they're cold and different. They've got things in their life that's not where it needs to be. Would you deal with them, Lord? Would you help them? And Father, I pray for us all that you'd make your word more clear to us. Lord, if me without a choice, because the way I recollected that Sunday, just a 12-year-old boy, I don't recollect it me being me that said, I need to go to church. I need to do something. But I remember it was something moving on me. And I felt really funny. I realized what it was. It was my election. That funny feeling. It was you moving on my nature. And my nature went to church that night and began to seek you. Thank you for that day, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you for letting us go down this gallery again tonight, this gallery of sovereignty. Oh, will we make choices? Absolutely. Will we say yes? Oh, yes, we will. Hallelujah. Will we make up our mind? Yes, yes, yes. After, of course, you've made up yours. Those of us who are still straddling the Armenian fence, you're gracious to us. You're merciful. But you'll get us to a place to where we'll finally be able to say, there was nothing about me that could even desire it. I can say that tonight, Lord. It wasn't even in my nature. Praise God. I'm so glad I can say it. I wasn't good enough, righteous enough, clean enough, holy enough. Thank you, Lord. But something moved on my nature. God spoke my word, my name. Praise God. Was that what you said that day, Lord, when you began to call each of us? Was that what happened again, that which you spoke in the beginning? When you created our lives? Glory to God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands, friends, in the presence of this awesome, mighty God? I don't know about you. I thank God for election. I so thank God. Brother Branham said if he didn't believe in election, he'd be a mighty discouraged man. Can you imagine a prophet of God seeing miracles and believing in all of that, yet being a discouraged man if he didn't believe and understand election? Thank God for election. We'll pick it up, Lord willing, in the morning. Luke 15:18. I will arise and go to my Father. You see about that, Brother Donnie, it's free moral agency. But which was first? Sanity or free moral agency? Free moral agency led him to an insane life. But when something moved on him and moved his nature, now the same man with the looking at the very same things around him, he says, well, this is simple. I know what I've got to do. I'm going back home. I'm going back to the house. And I mean, I'm heading that way today. Well, if it's that simple, why didn't you do it yesterday? Why didn't you do it last week? Apparently, God hadn't spoke to his nature yet. Look, friends, some of your children, you may have prayed and waited and prayed and waited. Don't give up on them. Maybe in the morning they'll get up to start their regular Sunday routine, whatever that is. And all of a sudden, something speaks to them. And they show up here at church. And after we resuscitate you, then you have a shouting spell. That's all it takes. That's why none of his will be lost. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's sing it now. Oh, how I love Jesus. even love him. He first loved me. Let's sing it together now. We're singing. Oh, let's make love turn now, church. With all of our hearts. Sing it to him now. Your hands, close your eyes to me. He is so wonderful. Praise God to me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you ought to praise him. He spoke to your nature, and your nature began to see God. Together now, hallelujah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Harry to sing the song about God come running for me when you bring me out. Let's start him on his way. He gets out of the hog pen. Forget the chocolate cocoa beans today, boys. I'm out of here. He had rags on for clothes. No shoes. No ring, no authority, but he had a father. Hallelujah. He had memories, and he began to think, maybe going along the way, oh, how I love my father. Oh, how I love my... Can you imagine? You start getting all broke up and think, what made me leave? Oh, how I love my father. It's because my father, he first loved me. I was in him, and he wanted to have fellowship with me. And he knew me before I knew him. Glory to God. Glory to God. I wonder as he kept getting closer and closer and closer. His heart was racing and afraid. And the Greek words that are used are to describe him. That he got so close. But it's like he stalled. He stalled. As if though he was afraid to go any closer. But the scripture says, while he was yet afar off, his father saw him. Come on, be honest. That's where we was. Even when we started back home, we're still so far off. And I'm stopping right there. You ain't pulling no more out. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Can we just raise our hands, children? Oh, don't you love him? I mean, let's just not say this as a tradition, but don't you love him?
Amen.
With all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. What was it that got a hold of you? Election. Election. You come to yourself. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The world couldn't hold us no more, Lord. Riches, wealth, fame, sin. It couldn't hold us, Lord. Hallelujah. We came to ourselves. You found us, Lord Jesus. You found us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We bless your name, Lord. Oh, let's love him, children. That you're feeling tonight is that same thing that got a hold of you when you're down in that hog pen, wherever you was. That presence you're feeling right now, that awesome God of ours. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let him come near us. Glory to God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We adore your name, El Shaddai. We worship you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Thank you for coming to where we were. You came down in our squalor, in our filth, in our sin. You had to. You couldn't wait till we got cleaned up and all spotless and all that. You had to come right down where we were. I thank you for doing that, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. If you'd have waited, we'd have never got right. It wasn't in our nature to. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Oh, let's just worship him, children. Let's just take a few more minutes. Let's just take a few more minutes of our time to give back to him. You owe him everything. You owe him everything. Your life. You're in your right mind. You're like the man in the tombs. You're sitting right here tonight at the feet of Jesus. Closed. And in your right mind. We was insane. We was lost. We didn't know which way to go. But believe it or not, we have sat right here at the feet of Jesus and heard him break to us his word. And we're in our right minds. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, oh God. Thank you for true Holy Ghost sanity, Lord. Thank you for illuminating our souls by your truth, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Something on your heart. We worship you, Lord. I thank you, my Father. I thank you, oh, my Father. I thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord.
Of myself,
oh Jesus,
wretched,
oh Jesus,
and poor,
hallelujah,
lost and lonely within.
Remember,
but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings,
oh hallelujah,
in pity.
Thank you, Jesus.
His wings.
Sing it. great King, as we come to the close of this service, we count it an honor once again to have sat at your table. We have not eaten angels' food, but we've eaten children's food, fed to us by the King himself. I know when the prodigal son came back after he was restored, they killed the fatted calf. Glory. They made sacrifice, and they ate the sacrifice. They partook of the body word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We've sat here tonight at your presence with Melchizedek. One day we will sit literally with Melchizedek. But praise God, tonight we have been allowed as Abraham of old. Lord, the prophet said it was difficult that day. The grass was gone. It was real hot and dry. Sarah was real fussy. All kinds of bad things had happened. But little did they know, right down the road, Elohim and two angels are walking their way. Abraham looked out there and he saw you. Glory to God. And when he heard you speak, he knew it had been that voice that had followed him all of his life. He rushed and went and got a calf, tender and fed well. Told Sarah to get some bread. Needed to gather. So he brought out the butter, the milk, and the sandwich. You and the two angels sat down there and ate. He had fellowship with Melchizedek. Glory to God. We believe tonight, spiritually, we have sat at the table again with Melchizedek. We fed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. How we long when we will see that Melchizedek again in a natural body here at Spiritual Systems tonight. Lord Jesus, keep us until that hour arrives, I pray. We long for the time when we again will be like Abraham. We will sit down and have communion with Melchizedek. Go with us now, Lord. Bring us back if it be pleasing to you in the morning. With open hearts, hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Go in the fear of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Blood, and I'm close.